This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Torch and dip it into the sexy St. Jeff candle. No Buffs is back, baby. I'm J.E. Skeets, along with my fellow tribe members, two guys whose mothers also do not like electric cars, Trey Kirby and super producer J.D. What's up, guys? Is that true? That your mom does not care for electric cars? How's Sally
feel?
I don't
think I've ever once had a conversation with her about an electric car. But you know, the holiday season is coming up, and I'll put that top of the list.
Oh.
Mom, before we get into any greetings or any holiday salutations, any hugs, let me know how you feel about a self-driving Tesla.
Oh, I thought you were going to put it at the top of your Christmas wish list.
Oh,
a Tesla from Sally. Your mom loves you. She might buy you an electric car.
My mom loves me. She listens to this podcast.
There you go.
So I expect one by Friday afternoon.
Awesome.
Love you, Mom.
We're here to recap episode 11 of Survivor 43, titled Perfectly Hiding in Plain Sight.
Best title of the season.
An excellent title. Probably the best episode of the season,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think, you know, we're going to get into it. It was a banger. Shout out to the live tribe joining us on YouTube this fine afternoon. If you're new to No Buffs, please like the video and subscribe to No Buffs here on YouTube. And if you're a podcast listener, thank you, thank you, thank you. Leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. Yeah, let's go through this one, JD, because it was a blast. I think outside of like a perfectly executed blindside, or let's say like an advantage played at the end, like a shocking tribal council, if that had happened, this would have been 10 out of 10 Survivor episode for me. But because that didn't, I'm going to go 9 out of 10. It had every other thing I love, humor, yeah, and the challenge is great and all
if
that.
If that shot in the dark had just hit.
Yeah, mm-hmm, right.
Mm-hmm. It would have been the perfect episode.
Right, right. Damn close. Okay, so night 19. This is post-tribal council, where Noelle was voted out last, if you remember. Sammy and Owen left on the outside of the vote. First time for Sammy, just a same old day for Owen.
He's used to it.
You know, these guys could not have been further off. So Sammy, he lies to Carla right away in this episode about voting for her.
Yes.
Is that right? That's what
yeah,
he says.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, he basically throws Gabler under the bus.
Yeah.
So he's, let me just make that clear. He lies about not voting for Carla. That's what he's saying. I didn't vote for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's like, and everyone's like, hold on. And he's like, no, I'm pretty sure Gabler did. And then they're like literally going to check if Gabler did. And then he just cops to it right away. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did.
He said in his exit interview with Dalton Ross, he looked over and saw that frail old man and just couldn't do it to him. I mean, nice. But it's pretty funny because as soon as Carla and Sammy finally patch things up, he just lies to her again.
Yeah.
Like, he'll never stop lying.
I did like JD to start this episode, him, you know, for 10 seconds lying to Carla. And then she goes, after he like comes clean, he's like, she asks him like, can I ask why?
Yeah.
And then we get the dum-dum music, and it was not a great start for Sammy, who eventually is going to go home. What do you think of that?
I loved it. You know, he'll go down as one of the best doofuses on the show, I think. He's just sort of, he's not,
because
no
he's
shame.
Not really a doof. Like,
he's not.
He's showed some chops out
yeah.
here. Like, you know, he jumps back and forth. You can argue whether that's great gameplay, but he's picked up on things. He's been on the right side of the vote a lot of the time, so he knows
yeah,
where to
totally.
Vote. But then again, at the same time, he is a bit of a... He's a 19-year-old
kid. He's a 19-year-old kid, yeah, and yeah. he's just... It's like, I remember being 19, and I remember just pushing every single button. You know what I mean? You just push, which is exactly what he did. And then he finally got burned. He said it himself. You play with fire, you're going to get burned. Nice shot of him setting the fire, you know? Yeah, and it was a great, great edited episode. And but anyway, yeah, he just tried too many moves. He was just you know, he wanted to play every position on the football field, you know, for some reason. And, well, he just wanted to play the game of Survivor, and he was a great player, and we're going to miss him.
Yeah, for sure. So then we have Gabler immediately pulling Owen aside to try and, like, make him feel a little bit better, you know, because, again, once again, he has no idea where the vote's ultimately going. He's gotten it right, I guess, after last night, what, twice? I think his stats
are. Yeah, Mariah was his one time that he was right, and that was the first vote out of the season, wasn't it? Or at least for his tribe.
Yeah. He not, he didn't get the Janine vote right? Was he on that one?
Oh, well, he did in the end, right?
Yeah, I think he did in the end, but that was where he was pissed off with James.
Yeah.
That's a good point. So, anyway, you know, Gabler's talking to him, but Owen then, like, straight, like, chucks his bag and, like, mopes a little bit. And then he gets an incredible confession. Like, this guy's been the king of confessions this season, and sort of as our narrator. But he compares himself to Charlie Brown, JD, and then is going through the Charlie Brown, like, you know, Peanuts characters, because it's not just Lucy. No, it's not just Lucy pulling the football.
No.
It's Linus. That's Jesse, the editor show us. It's Pigpen. Right. That's Cody.
Yeah.
The editor show us. It's Peppermint Patty. That's Carla.
Yeah.
The episode shows. And then he says something about the kid playing the piano, too.
Stupid kid playing the piano.
Who you knew that kid was.
Schroeder, of course. Yeah,
I wouldn't have got that. I got to be honest. I think that's a great question for like bar trivia.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, some people can get it, obviously, but I don't think everybody can.
Probably not.
Yeah.
It's peanut season right now, though. That's right. Like, you got the Thanksgiving special, the Halloween special, the Christmas special. I think there's even a New Year's one. I'm deep in the cast of Peanuts right now.
Yeah. I just loved everything about this. Owen being pissed off, sad, and then this great confessional. The part where he throws his bag reminded me of there's an Arrested Development clip where
George Michael
comes in, and he drops his bag and then just crumbles to the ground and lays flat on the ground.
Yeah.
Reminded me so much of that. But, you know, Owen will go on to have a better episode here.
Big up for him, Owen.
Awesome. I mean, of a season full of, like, analogies and comparisons and everybody trying to force one and compare everything to Survivor, I thought the Charlie Brown example was great. You agree, JD?
Yeah, he just missed out Marcy, I guess. Peppermint Patty's girlfriend, who would be Cassidy.
Right.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah, I forgot about Marcy. You guys really know your peanuts.
God damn right.
Somebody in the Slipstream team.
Slips? What? You know, this is no break.
What?
This is the Live Tribe, man.
This is insane to me. Here in the Live Tribe, somebody said Gabler would be the teacher who you can't understand. Good stuff.
Or maybe Probst, honestly.
Also true, yeah.
This is a little weird right now. Okay, so
Min Power said that.
Oh, good stuff. Jeff is Snoopy. That's what you said. Better. Okay, so day 20 we jump to. Next day here, it's the morning. Cody does note in this scene, JD, how we shouldn't take Sammy. He's really good at making fire.
Yeah.
So we gotta get rid of him soon, because if he's there at the final four, the fire making challenge, and is in it, he's probably beaten any one of us.
Totally.
So, and you wonder how much that actually came in to consideration in them ultimately going Sammy over Cassidy at the end.
Yeah, it's funny to think, because I think early in the season, didn't Sammy say, he's like, I'm going to play it cool. I'm not going to show all of my cards out here. He obviously had the very famous lie that he's an ancient 22-year-old man rather than a 19-year-old boy. But he obviously was pretty flagrant with how easy it is for him to make fire.
So.
He's like going out of his way like, hey, you want me to make a fire? You want me to make a fire? Oh, I can make a fire super fast.
Like, gets it going like that.
He didn't have a chance to do it when the time really mattered, but it looked like he was crushing it.
Yeah, well, fire, no problem. But he's having a bit of a down day, he tells us. So he gets to rereading his loved one's note, JD, and is taking his mom's advice. We have actually a great question or observation in tree mail later that backs up our theory that these letters are fake and that Probst is actually writing them, but we'll save it till then. But mom's advice, keep your head up and put your shoulders back.
Yeah.
And,
that's
you know,
good advice.
That is good advice. I
walk tall.
Yeah.
Right?
Make it feel like you're 22 years old.
Yeah.
Right?
They'll never believe you if you have slumped shoulders.
Stand up straight, young man.
Yeah. So then Sammy, though, maybe because of this letter, from Prope slash Mom. He goes and talks to Carla in the shelter, and he starts playing the game still. He's like, look, I was on the wrong side of the vote, but what can I do here? He throws Cassidy's name under the bus. And Carla's like, what'd she say? And I thought he had a great answer. He just didn't say, like, well, like, she said, you know, I'm gunning for you and all that about Cassie. He said, like, something along the lines, like, it was mutual. Mm. I thought it was, like, a nice way to, like, tell a lie about trying to, like, throw Carla's ally under the bus to her. Like, it's like, he's copping to, like, as if we were talking about it together.
Right.
You know, it's not just her, but she's a part of it. I thought, I was like, it seemed to work. I mean, obviously, yeah, Carla later in this episode is, like, wondering, like, I've told her about my idol. Should I get rid of Cassidy? Get rid of my ally? Is she really my ally?
I thought it was a great lie.
Yeah, I did too.
It was like a good lie and the perfect person to lie about, right? Because Carla knows that she's only told Cassidy about her idol. So she's like, is that going to put a target on my back and in Cassidy's eyes? So yeah, I thought that was pretty smart by Sammy, which is the thing. It's like, he just did too much. Like, this whole season, he was making moves with everybody. He says in his interviews, like, I felt like I had a relationship with everybody. He probably did, but that's what ultimately ended up getting him in trouble. But it also made for some solid gameplay moves, I thought.
Yeah, and so this is basically the episode, JD. It's like, is it Cassidy or is it going to be Sammy? Because Cassidy goes to Carla and is like, we should just do Sammy. Like, keep it easy here. And again, this is where we get Carla, like, really contemplating what she should do. And the question is, should she have maybe axed her ally in Cassidy? Could that come back to bite her in the ass? Or would that have been insane for even her to, like, consider that? What's your thought?
Well, at 7, I don't think anything's insane, really.
It's a magical time, Gabler
said.
It's
a magical time, exactly. I mean, you know, Jesse knows that she has an idol as well. Let's not forget that. Yes. She doesn't
realize
that.
We think everybody might know.
Everybody has to know. Like, come on. I mean, realistically, right? They would have to know.
It'd be silly if they didn't. I mean, talking about beads and...
Yeah.
For
all we know, Cassidy's already told everybody anyways.
Also, it's possible.
Yeah.
Just a weird moment of weakness there from Carla.
Yeah.
You know, it would happen to me. If Natalie Anderson had said, hey, you got an idol? Yes, I do. Anything else you want to know? Any other secrets you want to know from me, Natalie, or Parvati, or anybody? Anybody, you know, I'm talking about attractive women. Like, Carla's attracted to women, and she's
Carla's
the only woman.
Beauty got through her, right?
Yes, wow. Don't you? I found it very, like, it was almost flirtatious the way she told her.
It could,
like,
just be a little trust building.
I think it's just almost impossible for these current players, at least, to keep it a complete secret.
There's no reason for her to tell her.
No, but...
Then she already... Cassidy is already... totally loyal to Carla. I mean, she may not know that. Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
But I think it was a moment of weakness.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Hey, man, we're all human.
Hey, look,
including Carla.
It's true.
It wasn't an amazing episode for Carla. I would say this last little stretch, she's looked
vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But maybe again, that could be good in the end, that it doesn't. She's not like a juggernaut running through this, and everybody's targeting her. All right, we go to day 21, which actually caught me by surprise.
Right.
We're like.
It's almost over.
Jesus. It's like 5 days left. What did they do on day 20?
What did they do on day 20?
Right? I was like,
hey, wait.
I was like, and I double checked because I was like, I wrote in my notes. I was like, hold on, is that right? And I believe it is. They just were hanging out. Sammy was reading Jeff Probst's love note, and that was it. But anyway, day 21, gorgeous sunrise.
Beautiful.
Interrupted by boat mail. Mm. Yep, not tree mail, boat mail. And it tells them, hey, there's an advantage hidden in the jungle. And off we go, baby.
Go.
I always love this. I love the camera men and women chasing the castaways out there running into the jungle. And it's just pure pandemonium. And they edited this one perfectly because we get the hilarity of hiding in plain sight. It's literally attached to a tree. And we had, what, 4 of them walk right by it? I know Sammy did. I know Cassidy did. Cody was there a long time until he found the thing. I think maybe somebody else. That it was just
Well,
it's just right there.
It was Gabler, right, that Cody was having the conversation on. He's like leaning against the wall, the tree. That was hilarious.
So funny.
One of the takeaways to me, I probably would get scolded by Jeff for this, but if I get a clue that says go, I ain't sprinting. Why?
Right, exactly.
Like, it ain't about speed. It's about attention to detail, which I'm also bad at, but still, that's why I'm not wasting my energy running out hard out there. But man, this was so funny, especially like some of the quotes you heard, like, they hid the crap out of this
one. They hid the crap out of this one.
It's not going to be at eye level.
Oh, and then Gabler comes up with, what did he call it? Lurpin?
Lurpin!
Lurpin, I mean, it's something they did in Vietnam. It's like some military strategy, some recon here. I saw Sarah before we jumped on live. Lurpin with Gabler, next on CBS. Would you watch that, JD?
Oh, you goddamn right I would.
Big Bang Theory, Survivor, and then Lurpin with Gabler.
Lurpin with Gabler. Gabler.
Anyway, just what a scene, JD.
Oh, it's too good.
Where it's right there. I do love the concept though of like you're so convinced it's in a nook and cranny, it's in between these trees, it's gotta be buried. And it's the opposite. It's like it's right in front of your face. It's like when you like lose your keys.
Yeah. Right.
And you're like, you're looking in the weirdest spots, and it's like on the table.
Right.
You know, it's in your pocket. Yeah.
It's just an awesome shot of him basically looking over his armpit, Cody, sort of. And then you see him realize, I'm looking at it right now, you know, like it's literally in front of my face. I loved it. I loved
every
second of that.
Yeah. Like for like,
he did,
talking mid-sentence and then covering it, just continue talking.
It did start to look a little suspicious. You know, like how long is he? All right, see you, man. See you later.
He's gonna stretch it out here.
He's relaxing by this tree.
Yeah. So Cody finds it. What did he find? Well, this was a new advantage. The choose your champion advantage. Mm-hmm. I love it. I think it could be tweaked a little bit, but I love the concept. Cody has to pick who, and he's told what the challenge is. I thought that was interesting. Like, it's going to be this, and you have to pick your winner, write it down, and then the mechanics of, like, how it was handed in and when it would be played, those were the issues I think I have with it. But I love the concept. I can't believe it's not sponsored by BetMGM or FanDuel.
Right? It's going to be.
Like, that's gotta be.
It's gotta be coming.
I mean, like,
the Applebee's
gambling
your
ads
champion
everywhere.
Yeah.
How could they not? I mean, it's literally like betting on a horse race. Cody tells us. He writes down, or we see, he writes down Owen. He tells us, and then he drops a great quote, too. He's got a smile so big I can taste the earwax.
Nice.
I've never heard that thing before.
Same. I've never heard that, but you knew exactly what he meant.
Yeah, I know. There was someone tweeting at us that him and his wife always compare Cody to Danny McBride, like a character.
Yeah.
Because of his mannerisms and like some of his sayings and just how he is. I think that's spot on. But what do you think of the choose your champion advantage?
Well, first and foremost, I was a little worried when I saw it on the tree because it looked like a watch to
me.
It was shaped like a bracelet or a watch.
You thought it was Shillelagh of Time?
I thought
remix?
It was going to be Shillelagh adjacent somehow. I was like, how are you going to do this, Jeff? Like that magic pocket watch? This is going to be too crazy. But I thought it was cool. I like the idea of picking somebody else who gives you also a chance to win immunity.
Yeah.
I thought I liked hearing his explanations for who he was choosing. He's like, I'm the favorite. I'm in the water all the time. LIVIN. But Owen seems like he's got some poise, so I'll go with him. Cool.
Yeah.
I think Dalton Ross is right, though, that they should reveal it like right before they go to vote or something like that. Because if you don't find out who Cody picked and whether or not he's immune until after the vote, you got to assume he's immune while you're voting.
Yeah.
You're like, he probably got it right. We can't take the chance that we're all putting votes on this one person that he might have picked.
Was Cody allowed to go and tell them? That's what I want to know. Like, did they just know this entire episode that he basically had picked Owen?
Well, I mean, the odds were,
and so he'd won immunity.
Were good, right? Like, assuming he didn't pick himself. It's a 1 in 6, right? Or 1 in... Yeah, 1 in 6.
It never works for Shot in the Dark, though.
You're right, but at least you have an educated guess.
Yeah.
And you know, you've been around Owen enough to know that he's comfortable in the water. And he's a challenge beast, 2-time immunity winner. Which
you called
I predicted.
It.
Wow. I called it.
Ooh, this is a technicality, though. He shared it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Hey, a win's a win.
Yep.
I think I was Tyson's podcast. Riley saying he likes it, but earlier, like the merge, during the merge, like the on the merge episode, right? Because then you don't know half the people. So it is more of a gamble, cool. right? And then there's just more, like the odds are less because, yeah. So, but
what,
I love
and
it.
And what about the, like the revealing of when it is and all that? Like,
I don't.
Like Trey's right. It's like he basically was handed immunity.
Yes.
Once you knew that he was the one that found it, which he, I guess, had to tell everyone when he had to hand the parchment over to Probst before the challenge even started. Like, it's like, okay, well, we know he found it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good point.
So he's bet on somebody out here, not himself. So he's got, you know, two chances, really. In the end, it would have been three because of this weird finish to this challenge. But it's like you have to play it like he's immune in the mechanics of it right now.
Yeah.
That he's got immunity.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I think, again, if there's more people, there's more of a, who did he? I like the idea of, did he pick the right one or didn't he pick the right one? You know what I mean? Right. And then you have to vote not knowing who he picked. I like that part of it. I just think.
But that's not how they laid it out to us in the edit. We knew we had Owen. So they took away that part, which is strange.
Right.
Like, it would have been more exciting wondering, I think, the whole time.
Yeah.
Wow, did Cody pick one of these two still left? Yeah. What is he saying on the bench over there? Like, is he really rooting for them? Yeah. You know, like once he had dropped, but
right,
yeah, just there's something to it though. A lot of people think it replaced the do or die twist. I guess
how so?
Just in terms of when it maybe.
Oh right, yeah happened. It's not. Yeah.
Choose your champion.
It's great definitely better than that than do or die.
Yeah,
yes,
sure. So let's get to that immunity challenge. Day 21 here. Last Gasp is back in our lives for the fourth time ever. We are putting them under a grated steel barrier in the water, and as that tide rises, you run out of room to breathe. And how long can you hold on? And it turns out
a couple of these people
are very long time. So yeah, Cody hands in at his advantage. We don't know who he picked. Well, we know, but they don't know. It'll be revealed after the votes are cast. And they all get in the water, and man, we talked about it. When we saw the preview, we were like, oh, damn, this challenge is back, and the claustrophobia element, just being in the water. It's like, how comfortable are you just in the ocean with that salt water and coming up over the face? And those swells were coming in.
They were.
It felt like, I saw people writing about it, I don't like remember this, but of ones prior, and we hadn't seen it in a long time, that it wasn't so choppy. It was more of a slow tide rising in the previous versions of this. But
I don't think you can, well.
I don't know. For sure.
I don't know. I mean, is this something that they do? They wait for the perfect conditions and they're like, okay, we're doing this one today because it's the if it's too choppy, then, you know, you don't want to kill people, right?
But
I mean, we're not going to see this again, right?
I think we will.
Why not? Why do you say that?
They beat it. They beat the challenge.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, you can make it so there's the thing where the ability of that grate could be lowered or raised. I guess you could do that.
I guess. But I mean, if it was a true, and they should have waited for the tide to come back in.
So
it's
night,
an endurance challenge.
There we go. Night challenge.
Whatever. Yeah. As long as it takes.
Yeah. They don't like those super, super long ones.
No.
And that's what Probst just called it. Well, just go through it here. It was Gabler tapping first. The Alley Gabler.
Amphibian.
That's right.
I guess not.
Yeah. Sammy goes next. Mm-hmm. Jesse goes out third. Probst is yelling, it's nice to revisit some old haunts.
Yeah, he did.
We're 1 hour in. That caught me by the surprise. I was like, holy crap. Okay. Wow. These guys are amazing. We're down to Carla, Owen, Cody, and Cassidy. Cody digs deep a couple times. Like, literally, like, drops below the water. I was like, can you do that? I guess so.
Just dangling.
And then ultimately has to bail. And then he notes how cold the water is. I wouldn't have
thought of that.
I wouldn't have thought of that either. Yeah. Yeah. But I guess, like, you're not moving.
Yeah, you're not getting into like, that sun time.
No.
Yeah.
So he's out. And then we jump ahead to 2 hours in, basically. And Cassidy finally drops.
Yeah.
Her with her legs up in that grate, I was getting like really claustrophobic. I'm like, what have you, I don't know.
I am so build different than you guys because this was like.
You would have dominated.
I would find this a breeze. Like, I mean, I say that, I probably tap out 1 minute really? In. Like, ooh, it's too cold in here.
It's cold.
Yes. But you don't do anything. You're lying there for 3 hours.
Yeah, but
breathing.
It's, but it, again, like some people are comfortable in the water
totally,
and some
yeah.
aren't.
And you're
I'm
on
not
your
that
back.
Comfortable. I would not do that yeah. great in this. That water would get, I would be holding my nose. I would try and do that. I
yeah,
think that's a
smart
strategy.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'd last 2 hours.
I actually thought Carla was in trouble off the right from the jump because she was holding her nose, and that's sort of the telltale sign to me that somebody's not comfortable in
yeah,
the water, especially.
Yeah.
But that's more like jumping in the water
yes.
or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yes.
Turns out, very smart thing to do,
just to prevent that water from getting
yeah,
up your nose.
Yeah, but if you're comfortable in the water and you know, like, you don't have to. You just a little, you don't need that much.
Well, I'm a mouth breather, so I would definitely plug my nose.
Yeah,
because it's like not going to do me any help. Breathing, I'm not breathing through my nose at all.
Yeah, I think I would plug my nose only because I wouldn't want accidental water
totally.
Going in.
Yeah. Uncomfortable.
But yeah,
what,
I
is
think
this
I,
a neti pot?
I would finish fourth probably.
You say you'd be
yeah,
average
fourth? Yeah, yeah, like in the mid.
I think I would like to think I'd give it a hell of a go, but
yeah.
I wouldn't be comfortable. I know.
No, and that's
especially
fair.
In that, like, yeah, it's like the vision part, I think, too. Like, when the water does cover you totally, like,
yeah.
it swells, and it's like, you know, just like, I can hold my breath.
Yeah.
Like, that, no problem, but
yeah.
it's the just being uncomfortable. I don't like that.
And it just gets deeper and deeper,
yeah.
and you're underwater for longer and longer and longer.
And then a bunch of seaweed comes up and touches me on my face. You see the seaweed after 2 hours in the grate?
That was snot, actually,
oh,
coming out. It was cold in there.
So I felt bad for Cassidy.
You know, I would be battling boredom, I think. That's
yeah.
how comfortable I think I would be. I would be just like, all right, come on. Come on, Carla.
How
give
long
it
can
up.
You hold your breath?
Me? 8 minutes. No.
2 minutes?
2 minutes? No. Probably a minute.
Then you wouldn't win. I don't think.
How long do you think they had to hold it
no
at a swell? That's a good question.
Probably a minute and a half, I bet.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. Well, maybe. But I say no way. But also, maybe.
So,
a minute long swell?
Yeah,
no.
That's...
You know what we're going to ask is Owen.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so 2 hours, 45 minutes we're into this thing. It's down to Carla and Owen, and the tide starts dropping. And Probes... He calls it.
Wow.
And you have defeated the ocean. You beat it. You beat the tides.
You beat the
you defeated
ocean.
The ocean.
They, yeah. And Carla and Owen both win an individual immunity. First time ever in Survivor history where they call it and just give it to two of them, right? Obviously, we've had two winners before in challenges. Two necklaces up for grabs. But this has never happened, right?
Nobody's ever beat a challenge, period?
Well...
Well,
I feel like they have called challenges eventually.
I
don't think in this. I don't think like from being a victor over it.
Mm. Right,
yeah.
Right, yeah,
yeah,
right. That's a good point.
Well, and I also Tyson was talking about how they have stopped a challenge and reconstructed something because it wasn't going the way that they expected
yeah.
it to go.
And there's been something where like they were going forever. And then they were like, okay, now go on 1 foot or something like that, like on the
right.
fly. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, let's just make it harder.
Sure.
Right.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. This one, it's like, what do? You really
yeah.
can't make, outside of dropping it somehow, there's not really a way to like make it all that much more difficult.
No.
At its core, what it is. But
it, you
yeah,
know what?
Incredible.
It's this is the dream team's fault. Because none of them could do it. They were like, no way that they're going to last 3 hours.
And basically
here.
3 hours. Wow. That's a long time to be lying on your back.
It's a long time to be doing anything. That's
sorry,
like
exactly.
That's a flight. That's a flight to
Toronto.
Yeah, plus
easily.
Like not including the tarmac part. Including boarding.
All right. Next time you fly home to Toronto.
Yeah.
How would we do this? We need a grate.
You got to lie on your back.
Yeah, we need like a bowl of water somehow.
Yeah, and a snorkel.
Yeah, yeah.
And just plug it up every so randomly somehow. Rig it up so that it plugs up the snorkel so you can't breathe.
So,
that's
what
next
a win.
Pick and payoff, I think.
Incredible work. And then Sammy tells us, man, there's probably 3 out of 7 players immune right now. There's Carla. There's Owen. And Cody probably picked one of them.
Yep.
Right.
And maybe he just told them, for all we know. So, yeah, there are only 4 people that could be targeted, it looked like. Heading into the plotting and scheming part, Cassidy pissed. I couldn't blame her. I felt for her.
Yeah.
I was like, that sucks. You lasted a long ass time. And I mean, I guess it was another half hour or so that Carla and Owen wrote there, but it's like, ugh.
Should have held on.
What would they have done? There's no way they would have given three of them.
Exactly.
Individual immunity.
Exactly.
Like, right?
Jeff said they always have another one there. But only one.
Yeah.
They can't give up.
He's lying. He's lying.
You don't think they have two immunity necklaces?
Oh,
there?
I know they have two of them. We've seen them, whatever. This year they've given out two.
Yeah.
But they were like, go get that other one. They didn't have it with them out there.
You don't think so? Somebody had to jump on a boat and go back to base camp and grab it.
They're like, we're 2.5 hours in and this tide's going to start going out. Let's go get that other immunity necklace because this is, as soon as Cassidy dropped out, they were like, this is what we're doing.
Didn't you have some behind the scenes intel that Propes is like talking to production?
Dalton Ross has a pretty good interview with Jeff about kind of the whole history of how they actually got to do the challenge and why they finally were able to do it in Fiji for the first time despite being there for 10 years. They got access to a new cove that has calmer water.
Ah,
which therefore makes me think they're going to bring it back because it's an awesome challenge.
Yeah.
And now they can actually do it. But yeah, he said there was the production barge is off in the distance just watching along. And as Jeff noticed the tide getting lower and lower, he subtly signaled.
Two?
Two?
Wow.
And they subtly signaled back. And then somebody swam in that second necklace.
Yeah, I guess
right,
so.
From Ponderosa, because that's where it was sitting.
Well, this is really interesting. Will they do it again? Because on one hand, they got a great cove now. It's also a great challenge. But then on the other hand, we just had two people beat it. And so unless you're going to decide to let them just lie in the water for another 12 hours till the tide starts coming back in, it's like maybe they won't. I don't know. Unless they can
But the Dream Team couldn't beat it. You know?
Yeah. They couldn't. This is what they do. This is what they do. They have it so that that grate becomes completely submerged when the tide comes in.
Then it just comes down to who can hold their breath the longest.
Exactly. And then you just, wait. And then wait for somebody to either come out or... What if somebody drowned? Would they still win immunity?
Probably, the body is floating to the bottom of the ocean, and there's a guy in a scuba suit. Probes has to put on a scuba suit.
We always have one
down and put it on.
Just in case.
Probes motioned over to someone and went like this to represent a scuba suit.
Where is it?
It's in my closet. The immunity necklace is on my bedside table.
So, like I said, Cassidy bum. Owen goes and checks on her. I thought that was nice. You know, he's just like,
you lost.
Yeah, but just making her feel a little bit better.
Too bad you couldn't hang on as long as I could.
Well, again, I don't mean. He didn't say that. You're putting words into his mouth. He was just saying,
lost by a half hour, man.
Yeah,
she wasn't close.
Did.
If she could have hang on longer, she would have.
Well, you hold on.
She was
hold
closer than Gabler.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're right. I agree with you.
A half hour.
Yeah.
I guess it was half hour. Cassidy thinks people might take her out to knock Carla down a peg. Which she points out. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting observation from her. So Carla then wants to target Cass. She tells Sammy this. I was a little surprised he just believed it.
Mm.
Then again, I guess he's in the position. He's like, I sort of got to. And then I have in my notes here, quiet episode for Jesse. Until the vote, of course. This guy, you didn't hear a single word from him this entire episode until we're getting to plotting and scheming and what are we going to do with the vote? And suddenly it's Jesse going, no, we're going to do this.
Yep.
It was crazy. Like, the edit this guy is getting, like, I'm almost convinced myself he can't win now because the edit's, like, too powerful.
Yeah.
We've got the last one where it's like, here's the 3-step plan, what we're going to do. Bing, 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 bing. And then, you know, all these other episodes where he's like, nah, we could do that, but let's do what I want to do. And then this one, just another example, is like, you know, here's what we should do. We should sort of like just screw Carla.
Right.
Basically, in the end, that's his plan to we could do Cassidy, but let's like let her think we're doing that, and maybe that'll come back and blow up in her face, but let's do Sammy. Now, that ultimately changes in the end.
Right.
But this is him telling us and telling other people out there that he doesn't like Carla building that bridge even there with Sammy. Was a big part of his reason, along with him. Maybe we should target Sammy. What do you think of Jesse's episode there last night, especially at this part here?
Well, I think we heard in this episode, maybe it was actually Cody who said it, that him and Jesse have been driving the bus.
Yep.
Since they got to the merge. I think that's absolutely right. And this episode kind of proved it, I think. It seemed like they were in charge. They didn't get what they wanted, though. I mean, they were wrong on how they wanted the vote to go when it all came down to it, because there is a missing piece of information.
So
here.
Who told Carla?
Who told Carla?
Yeah.
Why did Carla not vote for Cassidy?
Right, right.
And how did that eventually go down? Because if it worked out the way Jesse wanted to, and Carla votes for Cassidy rather than a landslide vote going Sammy's way, Carla looks a lot worse, just like Jesse was kind of planning.
Yeah.
It did not obviously go to plan.
Yeah. Somebody told her. Hell, it could have been Jesse.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Could have been.
I mean, I don't know. But the Jesse pitching Owen the idea also about going for Sammy, not telling Carla, though, JD. Mm-hmm. You know, he takes that plan to Cody, too. Cody pushes back. Sammy doesn't do crap in challenges. Like, he's not a threat.
A loser.
Cassidy is at least lasting 2 hours and has won one and all that. But Jesse is, like, just sort of hell-bent, at least before we get to the vote, of, like, I would rather make Carla look dumb.
Right.
Like, that seems to be, like, that would be a sweet plan tonight. Sure, Sammy can go, but let's make Carla, let's take her down a notch here.
Right.
And have, like, drive, like, a little bit of a wedge between Cass and Carla, which could still happen when we see the preview.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be some lingering effects there. But anyway, what'd you think of Jesse here?
I like it. I like his thinking. I liked this plan that he had. I would have liked to see that happen, because I think that that was a smarter move. I think that Sammy, I don't think was going to win this game at all.
Right.
He had already been caught in his big lie, and everybody's onto him, obviously. I mean, but it would have been nice to see. I liked his little plan, and I didn't really get why Cody was against it. That's what happened, right?
Yeah, well, Cody was, like I said, he was like, he's not a threat. I mean, he's basically saying what you're saying. He ain't going to win this game.
Right.
Why we got to get rid of him?
But didn't Jesse want to get rid of Cass?
No,
Jesse wanted to get rid of Sammy,
yeah,
but Carla be the only one who voted.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. Cody was, like, not really all that on board with getting rid of Sammy, at least in the initial conversation.
Right.
I mean, he obviously votes for him in the end. We'll see if it matters at all.
Right.
And maybe, again, it still works, this trying to, like, cause some friction between Cass and Carla, and because that's sort of what Jesse wanted to do.
They're tight. They're very tight.
Well, this is fascinating. We're to the final six, and we've got, like, pairs.
Mm-hmm.
If Cassidy and Carla are still tight, you said Jesse and Cody. I mean, they're basically, people are comparing them to, like, Dom and Wendell. And then Gabler and Owen, they talk a lot. They share plans a lot. They sort of let each other know at the last second things that are going on. They're, like, they seem sort of tight.
Gabler pitched Owen
pairs
on a final three
in
this episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's crazy, though, that like you're saying, Jesse and Cody looking like Dom and Wendell out there, power players in the game. Carla, obviously, still a power player in the game. All three of them have idols, and they're not targets at all.
Yeah.
That's kind of ridiculous to me, actually. Like, how do these votes end up being so one-sided every single time?
I think it was Rob and Fishback on their podcast today talking about, you know, maybe somebody wrote in the idea, like, Owen should have taken a big shot last night. You know, he wins immunity necklace. He's safe. And, like, try and put together a small faction of, like, blindside a Jesse. Like, make a big, big move. Get out one of the big power players. So what would it take? You know, you get Gabler.
Yeah.
You'd have Sammy. That's that's three votes right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you get one more? Cody, whatever. Probably not Cody. He's not going to probably vote against Jesse. But the idea is, like, it's there. It makes sense. But their counter to that was, like, this guy, Owen, he has had no clue what's going on at all this entire game. So he finally has, like, a little bit of, like, he wants a little bit of confidence in last night's vote.
Right.
I'm on the right side. Sammy goes home. I know I was safe, but, like, maybe he'll take a shot, you know, next week or the week after that.
Right.
But then will that even work, because the idols will be played? I sort of wish he had tried something last night, but I understand what they're saying.
Totally.
Like, it's so easy to say, hey, why don't you just do that when this guy's like feeling like Charlie Brown?
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, why don't I just like go to the go to tribal council and actually just vote on the right side for once, which he did. So yeah, at tribal council, the jury notices the two immunity necklace when they come in. Probst makes a weird comparison from tribe dynamics, I guess, or the game of Survivor to the tides. He says he's been thinking about them all day and came up with this. It didn't even make any sense to me. It's like, I guess the highs and lows of a tide to the highs and lows of the game.
Sure. Every game's different, just like every tide is
different. Oh, yeah, he says that too.
Yeah, but what's bad? What is the bad tide? Is low tide bad or is high tide bad?
Well, it depends.
I mean, if you're last gasping, yes, high tide is bad.
But high tide good when I got to get the boat out.
Exactly.
Get through the channel.
Exactly.
I don't know. He forced it in there. Outside of that, it was a decent tribal council, though. Sammy made a sports reference. I thought it was a basketball reference, but now I'm not so sure.
Nah,
like, he was talking about
guy.
The like the end of the career athlete and the idea of like a team like.
Yeah, do you want me for like a 1 year contract
or something?
Yeah.
But I thought it was basketball, like the way he started it, and then it quickly felt like he was talking more baseball or football.
Yeah.
Is Sammy a hoops head? That's all I know. I want to know.
He looks tall.
I know.
Well, there was a shot of him wearing football.
He's a football guy. Yeah. He's an athlete for sure, but does he play all the sports? Who knows?
Is he from Las Vegas? Is that right?
I don't know.
I don't know if he's from Las Vegas.
He said, I'll see you in
Vegas. Yeah, he is.
Oh, he did say that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Las Vegas.
Okay. So we find out here at Tribal Council, last night you could use Shot in the Dark, and Sammy says, I'm playing it.
Smart.
You liked it?
Yeah, of course.
I thought it was going to work.
So did I.
I was like, Laura, this is going to work. Yeah, literally, only because it has. I'm like, every time they've done it, it hasn't worked. He needs it right now. They're going to gift him that parchment. Nope.
I did love the part where he says he's going to play Shot in the Dark. Carlos says, that's unfortunate. And then Sammy goes, can you clarify why you would say that? A great exchange between them.
It's great. And I love the part. And I guess we weren't privy, or at least I wasn't privy, or I missed it. But he's basically saying, hey, if everybody is telling me what they're telling me is true, then my vote doesn't matter anyways.
Right, right.
So it's my last time to use it. I know I'm on the bottom and I'm one of four people that are vulnerable here. So fuck it. I'm using it. And goddamn, it would have been great if it had come.
Totally.
It would have been so cool. But it didn't, unfortunately. And it didn't matter because they all voted for him anyways, right? Yeah. Like, and knowing that he was going to use the Shot in the Dark, they still voted for him. So it wasn't even like a bluff. He was like, I'm doing it.
That's a good point.
And still all voted for him.
And nobody threw another vote on somebody. That's a part that's wild to me. Like, if he says he's playing it and you believe him and he plays it, I know it has never hit, but a 1 in 6 chance isn't brutal. And
if I'm one of those vulnerable players, I'm flinching. I would flinch. I would be like, God, what if it's me then? What if everybody gets spooked? I'm going to throw my vote somewhere else just in case, right?
Yeah. Like, why doesn't Cassidy throw it on like a Gabler or something? Yeah, that is strange. They all just vote Sammy. He goes out with 6 votes. Not safe. I think we need a production assistant to make sure somebody wrote down safe on one of these parchment papers.
I think they may have messed. Honestly, I want to see the die.
I do too. Yeah,
it's 100%. Crazy. It's a Shot in the Dark die. 1 in 6. People are saying, why 1 in 6? Because a die has 6 sides on it.
Right.
But all I do is drop it in the thing and get a piece of parchment.
Yeah.
Roll it.
I know.
Yeah.
Totally.
Or have Jeff, like a magician, show us the 1 safe and the 5 not safe, put it in a bag, and then give it to him, and then have him draw on at Tribal Council right there. Ah, God damn it, I'm not safe. The way they do it is perplexing to me.
If they can roll a giant novelty-sized fuzzy die on Price is Right, they can do it on Survivor. Yeah.
They should get that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? I used to love that one.
That's CBS too, I think.
It is CBS.
It's in the family.
It's just in the, you don't even need to make
it.
Barks,
probably.
Just have Drew Carey come out. I almost said Bob Barker.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be great. Just fucking spin the wheel.
All right, well, that's the episode. I mean, we have a lot of great questions in Tribal about a couple of these things we've been talking about in this one, but anything else to add? I forgot to say, Cody, obviously, they revealed that he picked Owen. Nobody was surprised. It felt like.
Yeah. They're like, good choice.
Give a little fist bump. Yeah, cool. Good pick. Anything?
I mean, you hit all my notes, even down to the beautiful sunset.
That was gorgeous.
Did they wake them up knowing that the boat was coming?
Yes.
They did, right?
Yeah.
Or do they watch the sunrise every morning?
I mean, it was a little convenient they're all there while the boat pulls off.
Yeah.
So I think so.
You got to check out some of them. Yeah, probably by like day 20, you're like, another beautiful sunset.
This never gets old.
Okay, I guess my one thing before we take our first break is what happens. Let's talk this out. Sammy plays a shot in the dark. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it says safe. It finally worked. They go to revote, but we have, in that case, four people immune. Three people could only be voted for.
Right.
Gabler, Jesse, and Cassidy. Who goes? Who gets the... Is it just they go to Cassidy next? Because that was
That's my guess.
Yeah, I think
only
so
because
too.
She was the only other name that was kind of in the mix. So I would guess Cassidy is the one, but I thought we kind of got like a reverse fake out in this episode because usually when they get to plotting and scheming, we get here's the plan that's actually going to carry through to Tribal Council. But the last like 3 minutes before they actually go to Tribal Council, they throw in a red herring. You're like, ooh, they're going to be flipping the vote here.
Right.
This time, we got the flip earlier when they were talking about Cassidy. Then they actually were going for Sammy. It ended up being everybody voting for Sammy. It wasn't even a question.
Yeah.
Usually that goes the other way.
Yeah.
I thought that was strange.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Anything else, JD, from this episode?
Oh, I'm sure we'll get to stuff from Tree Mail. So.
All right. Well, let's take our first break. And when we come back, we'll get to some great questions and comments from you out there. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, back here with No Buffs, breaking down episode 11 of Survivor 43, and let's get to some tree mail. Ooh, look at that beautiful sunrise, or maybe that's a sunset. I'm not
feels like a sunset.
I know, I think so too. But anyway, the boat's arriving. We got some mail. This one from Davey Day, and then Zach sort of piggybacks off it. So let me read both of them, because they're about the same thing. Davey Day, do you like this Choose Your Champion advantage better than Do or Die? And was Cody not allowed to say whom he picked after the challenge at camp? If he picked wrong, he could have bluffed to his tribe mates that he chose wisely. Zach said, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I preferred the Do or Die twist to this one. Since Cody's choice was not revealed until after the vote, the other players had to assume he was right, basically granting him immunity by happenstance. So... yeah, for those that don't remember, the do or die twist, which we saw in Survivor 41 and 42, that was the one, correct me if I'm wrong, that was the one where if you finished dead last in the predetermined immunity challenge, that you then just went to tribal council and did the old
Money
pick
Hall,
from three boxes, the old Money Hall, and if you got it right and pickly correct the box, you're good. Otherwise, you are just straight up going home. Of course, what happens in 41 and 42... They both got it correctly. So nobody has actually gone home from the do or die twist. So that's sort of what replaced it. It was Deshaun in 41, and it was Lindsay in 42. Which one do you prefer? The choose your champion or do or die?
Mm.
What you got?
I think I do prefer choose your champion in general, but the reveal and drama at Tribal Council at do or die... was better. Like, it was interesting seeing the person go up there and have to make their choice of their box, and then if they're going to switch or whatever, and then are they going to be safe?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with this, you know, we kind of waited until the last minute to find out if Cody was going to be safe. So everybody, like Zach is saying, had to assume, yeah, he's going to be safe.
Right.
I think they just need to change the mechanics of it a little bit, but I like the idea of choose your champion, CYC.
Yeah, I like it too. I love the concept you could see of like choosing your villain, choosing your rival, I mean, just to like help your chances to get it right. You may not want to pick someone. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that could happen. I think it's better than Do or Die, which I mean...
Yeah. Well, it would be...
In the end, it was entertaining television.
Like, unless one of them went home.
I know. I
and mean, then you're like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. It's not Survivor. It's you're going home based on... Okay, yes, you lost the challenge. You came in last in the... You came in last. You're out first in the challenge, but... that's not a way that anybody should go out of Survivor. You're either voted out or at the very worst drawing rocks.
Yeah.
But a Monty Hall challenge that both of them went against the wisdom, right? The conventional wisdom, which is
Did they both
went against it. They went with
because they stuck with their initial
original
box.
That's right.
It,
yeah, which is what you're not supposed to do. And it also, you know, this. It could also, it feels like it could be fixed as well. You know what I mean? Like, I guess it couldn't be. I don't know. Does Jeff show us all of them? Or does he just do a shell? Is it like a shell game?
I think he ultimately showed us all.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. But anyway, still, you don't want to go out. You don't want to see anybody go out. Even if you hate them, you don't want them to go out that way. Can you imagine the slow Charlie Brown walk if you get voted out, you picked a
tiny picture of a skull in
exactly.
a box.
Exactly. And then it's like, okay. I want to see it now just to see it, but just like awkwardness.
I'd rage.
Yeah.
Tear set down.
I guess you could argue heading into that immunity challenge, if it's at Final 7 and you think you're going home, you could throw it to get into the stupid Do or Die.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you're like, well, I might as well
now
play this game.
I got a 1 in 3 chance. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, I don't know. I like the Choose Your Champion. There's something fun to that.
I do, too.
I think it was maybe a little weird last night. I see Mitch bringing this up. Because we had two winners in the individual media challenge and then a third in Cody, that it felt a little odd.
Right.
But in a normal challenge, it's going to be just one.
Right.
So you got a 1 in 6 pick.
That's it.
And then yourself.
Very good point.
I like that. So,
yeah.
I think I'd keep it. Keep it. For
I disagree that it's a... I mean, in this case, yes... The chances are that he got it right are obviously, you know, exponentially more because there were two winners. But if they did it earlier and there was more people, there's still like a chance that he'd get it wrong. There's more of a chance he'd get it wrong than he's going to get it right, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and like these, like, hell, we do our fantasy Survivor pool. Try picking who wins these things.
Yeah.
God, I don't know.
Exactly. It's gambling.
It is. All right, next one here from Dr. Agula, which I read at first as Dr. Arugula. But it's Agula.
I kind of read it like Dragula.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When searching for idols, how much do people take into account the positioning of the cameras? Should they be focusing on where the cameras are pointing more, or is there some zoomed camera trickery going on so it's not that obvious? Who wants to take this? I know Rick Devins, our guy that we had on an episode of No Buffs, was at least tweeting about this and basically countering Dr. Aguila here. Like, no. If anything, they screw with you.
Yeah.
The camera
probably,
people.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think that if it was as easy as following the cameras, everybody would do it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of cameras out there.
Right.
And a lot of trees.
And they could be screwing with you, too.
They could be messing with you.
Yeah, which Devin says they have.
Do you think it would be a desirable job amongst the Survivor crew to be the idol fake-out cameraman for the day? Like, you just go to the crazy places, and you're, like, trying to throw people completely off their game. Meanwhile, Tim Duncan's brother's out there playing it cool, just actually looking.
Yeah, well, like, whoever did the classic Cody shot last night, I mean, they came back to the hut, and they're just high fives, hugs, beers, cheersing, like... You did it.
Give him an Emmy. Just give it to him.
That's a good point.
What a shot. You stayed with it. The balls of you to stay with it. I think the answer here is like, no, you could look at all the cameras you want. I don't think it's going to help you. That's my personal opinion, mainly going off what the Survivor contestants have said.
Right.
Yeah.
Or just stand behind the camera the whole time. Just try to look through the viewfinder.
I mean, moving forward, people are going to be like,
I think
you're looking this way and trying to, you know. Because you don't want to look foolish either. And like five people looked foolish walking by that thing, you know. There's nothing you can do, though. I mean, I don't know. A survivor camera person is shooting a tree. That happens literally all day, every day, right?
Do you think they tell all the camera people this is where it is? Or maybe it's possible that they don't know.
They got to find it.
And it's like they're following the people out there, the castaways.
Interesting.
That's sort of what I would think more.
Yeah.
But then again, so the camera person just saw it last night? I'm like, got it. He takes it.
That's a challenge for them as well. Found it. Got the shot.
Yeah.
No, you would have to know where it was.
Yeah.
You'd have to know as a camera person.
I don't know.
At least the producer knows. There's a producer with a clipboard.
I guess I've heard some people say, let's just say you went 500 feet the opposite direction of where that thing is. Like, will they go with you?
Yeah.
And can that be at least a telltale sign that you're like, okay, it's not over here. Because they're not even coming with me.
Yeah.
Because there was a shot of Gabler. I think it was somebody said, narration-wise, he was off the beaten path. Because that's the other part. It's usually on the paths or pretty close to landmark things, whatever. But looked like he was there was a shot far away where he was just out in the middle of the freaking jungle, it looked like.
Yeah.
Didn't seem like there was a camera person with
him.
Because, it's not out there.
You're right.
They're probably I don't want to go out there. And bugs
snakes
all over me
and stuff.
Snakes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I mean, when everybody bolts, right? They all seem to have an idea of where they're going, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you have an idea just because you've been out there for so long of
there's a weird
I'm
tree
checking
out there
that
I was ready
tree.
To look at.
Yeah.
So they're all waiting for a person, the first person to go. Nobody wants to be first, right?
They didn't seem to care last night.
I guess not.
They were like, let's go.
Yeah.
Owen took a shortcut at one point. They were racing down the beach and then into the jungle where there was a path. He's like, screw it. He was cutting across somebody's lawn.
I didn't realize that's what they were doing. I thought it was a little bit like JD is saying where you're I've got an idea where I think one would be. Because it looked like five went straight into the jungle. Uh-huh. And then what was it? Owen and maybe Jesse dipped off to the side. I thought they were just going down to a different part of the beach.
Yeah.
Maybe I just missed the cut through.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Anyways. Right.
Next one from @CoachVRunts. Do we think Jeff stood on the dock for 3 hours waiting for the survivors to drown? Did he have a stool? Do they bring sunscreen for the other contestants waiting? They were out in the sun for a while.
Yes, they were.
Coach worried about them. I think the answer is absolutely. Probst is standing out there.
100%. He was out there the whole time.
I think it to the point where, especially with a challenge like this, that he's even fearful of leaving the dock to go talk with the producer about, hey, go get the second necklace.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
like, they could dip out at any time.
Yep.
I got to call it. So I think he's out there.
You know what?
He was squatting at one point. Was it Dalton Ross said, an umpire, a Major League Baseball? down, calling balls and strikes. Talking to them.
You think he ever takes a seat? He's they look good for the next 5 minutes. Just sit down.
He sits at tribal council.
He sits at tribal council.
But I don't think so.
No, he's got to stand the whole time. He's got endurance, man.
It's like you were during a starter's
I know. That was 30 minutes for me. No chance I could last with Jeff Probst.
Do you think they
there.
Should give him at least a mat that construction workers or at a factory stand on?
Someone
at a restaurant? Yeah, a padded mat.
That's a good idea.
I think they should dress him up like a lifeguard and put him on a high chair, with zinc on his
nose.
That's
a great idea. Yeah,
good angle, too.
Yeah. Thing. And then whistle every time somebody's out or whatever. Yeah. And then dive in to help anyone who might be drowning. They got to run with bits a little more. Last week they did the sort of the Mission Impossible sort of checklist. This is how you trick somebody. But they're so married to that font. You know what I mean?
That's
their font, man. I don't feel good about changing the font. I love that font.
I'm not saying change the font for everything. I love the font. But if you're doing a bit, make it more like the bit, you know?
So what's the bit last night that you wanted?
Well, Jeff in a lifeguard.
So Baywatch.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am curious because the second part of this question, do they get sunscreen for the other contestants? That must be so boring.
Oh.
If you're Gabler or Sammy,
You're pissed off that you bailed. You got to fake pretend that you're cheering them on.
You're bored
out of your mind. You're hot as hell.
Yeah,
I'm with
Jeff,
you.
That'd
be
one
of the worst parts.
Let's just take a dip, quick little swim.
Yeah.
Right? Like, jump off the back. Splash around.
Yeah,
why couldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he would like it.
Coming back on camera. Get back up
here.
He
wouldn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. But they must be spraying them down.
They obviously get sunscreen out there, but I don't know, like, during the sitting of a challenge out there, like, for 3 or 4 hours, they come in and lather them up? I doubt it.
I don't see how they could
suffer. How they couldn't?
Yeah, they've been in the water too, so it washes up.
There's nothing healthy about it, Tam.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
All right, Zach. Our guy, Zach. The Shot in the Dark has been played 6 times. Once in 41, 4 times in 42, and last night by Sammy. All unsuccessfully. We are 0-6 in the Shot in the Dark.
Wow.
So, Zach wants to know, how would you fix it? If at all, would you lower the odds? Do some sort of mini challenge, or just get rid of it? Is there a place in this game for Shot in the Dark? Do you like the idea? At least it, you know, the players have to be like thinking a step ahead because, well, I guess we gotta lie to them. We don't want them to play the Shot in the Dark. So is that an element? Like, what do you think?
I think there's something to it because we're always like, why didn't you play your Shot in the Dark? Oh, mm-hmm. It'll be so cool to see if somebody actually hits. It's just impossible to see how it would actually play out because, for whatever reason, it hasn't hit yet. That would be the thing I would change about it. Have it work.
Well, okay.
Well,
so how about lower the odds then? If it
lower
starts 1-6
sure,
and then somebody
three.
Plays it and then it goes down to 1-5. Oh, I was saying it continues down.
Oh, every time somebody plays it, you get a better
Is
shot.
Is that too many times being played?
Interesting.
Yeah, you gotta have a rule or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, 1-4 seems more likely. Well, it's obviously more likely. It seems like it would be better odds if it was 1-4. But if it was 1-4, that seems like a better because it costs you your vote, right? And it's a Hail Mary, and we'll see it hit more often. We already talked about how we want to see the die, or we want to see we want to see it play out in front of us rather than just a piece of paper out of a sack kind of thing. I like that it's always in the back of their minds when they're trying to vote somebody.
Well, but that's good and bad because on one hand, that's the point of it. Force a blindside.
Right.
Right? You know, like trick the person into not playing their Shot in the Dark because you've convinced them they're safe and then, that's a got you. But I think what's happened here is like because of the Shot in the Dark, the other contestants, the other castaways, they're like playing it pretty safe.
Yes.
Like it's had this like counter to that where because of it, I think because of it, they're playing more conservatively when it comes to like votes. And you're less likely to make like a move, so to speak, where you pull enough numbers to like blindside someone and split votes and all that. I feel like that's what's going on.
Especially
here.
With this cast. I mean, is that why Jesse, Cody, Carla, their names have not been mentioned at all? Is that because they all have idols and people are too scared? They're too scared to waste their vote on somebody with an idol?
Well, Carla's name came up last.
She hasn't been voted for.
She got two votes.
Mm-hmm.
Last night? And Sammy. No, not last night.
Oh, the night before.
But yeah.
And but Jesse and Cody, they're nobody's.
No,
hasn't even. Them. Yeah, they're untouchable.
They really are. I like the idea of lowering the odds. I don't mind. I like keeping it, but it'd be cool if it hit for sure.
Yeah. Gotta see it.
But so maybe
once.
Lower the odds completely, like you guys are saying, 1-5, 1-4, or I actually keep it 1-6. It would be cool if it was a die.
Yeah.
Not this dumb parchment paper where Pops just reads. Which everybody then is just convinced, like, oh, there'll be someone they want to keep. And they'll tell them to play the Shot in the Dark. And, oh, it'll come up safe.
That's
just you watch.
Keep it. Yep.
But I like it going down, like, once it's played. Because you can only play it once.
Right.
Right, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not like you hit it and they're like, oh, I'll do it again next week. So it just the odds get better and better for your chances to hit it. Why not that?
They give you a little die, right? They everybody gets
I think you put the die in Plink. The thing, and then you don't get to vote.
It's so stupid that you don't roll. It's just so dumb.
It's
hate
weird.
It.
Are they worried the die is going to like go off the table and then he's going to be like, it was a safe and you didn't tell me that it had to be on the table.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Or like sometimes it like goes up against the wall and you're like, ooh, which one is it?
Mm.
Maybe they're worried that you would, because they have it on them the whole game, maybe they're worried that it'll get tampered with somehow.
Oh, way to die.
Weighted somehow. I don't know how you would do that, but hollow it out and then fill it with sand on one side. I don't know.
I didn't really realize that they all have it on them.
I think so.
Did I ever tell you about my friend Brian, who used to always carry two dice in his pocket at work?
No.
Had a crazy hat, too, man.
Oh, safari flaps on a beach. Oh, and you keep the sun off your shoulder.
He's the only guy I've ever seen that could pull it off.
Hold on. I got to kick something under the table. All right. Final one here. That's a joke for everybody. That's a I think you should leave, man. San Yunono, who is in first place, by the way. In our
Come
no buffs
way to go, Sam.
Survivor fans poll. We'll get to that in a second. But Sam wrote in, I'm beginning to think the letters from Homer fake theory is accurate. This is our theory. And remember, we were the podcast that told you the game within the game is in the game.
That's right.
Okay? So remember that. And we have a new theory that the letters are fake and they're written by Jeff Probst. And Sam Yunono points out why here. Sammy's mom signed her letter, your mom. And not just mom. Little weird. And then you weird. Pointed out, JD, this is a very convenient mom font.
Oh, yeah.
On a pink piece of paper.
Yeah.
Really leaning into it, I think.
Yeah.
So I think we're right.
I mean, it's too perfect. It's just...
Your mom.
This is an art department letter, you know. This is so on the nose. It's just unbelievable. Even the little heart at the bottom there. Love always, your mom.
I would love so much if they, just to mess with us in our theory, if it had said Jeff Probst and then scratched out and put your mom. Oh, whoever goes on Survivor 44, Survivor 45, Survivor 46, get your loved one to write Jeff Probst and cross it out and then put, you know, love your brother, love your mom, love whatever. We'll lose it. That'd be so funny. All right, well. But how do you feel about our theory? Some truth to it?
Having seen the evidence now, I think it's obviously true. I doubted you once, Skeets, with the game within the game within the game. This is factual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would Sally ever write your mom? That is a weird thing to write.
She'd put Bobins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
She'd right.
Put
she'd put an
nickname.
Inside nick joke or nickname and maybe mom. Your mom?
Full name, Sally Kirby.
Sally Ann Kirby.
People think it's crazy that I have, like, everybody in my family in my phone contacts by their full names. They're like, you don't just put mom for your mom? No. I need the two names there.
Oh.
Organization-wise, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So you're saying your mom is your mom's name in your phone. Is that what you just said?
Yes. Yeah. I don't just have, like, mom, dad, sister.
Same. That is
business-like.
When I think about it, it's a little weird, but I don't know why.
People like to have a nickname, you know?
Yeah, something but like couldn't that. You argue that if, like, heaven forbid you were in an emergency and, like, someone, a stranger found your phone and was like, oh, we should call his mom. Well, what's her name?
Did my phone under your mom? One last mama joke.
That it would
the
help
road.
That person out if it just said mom.
Yeah, I remember there was a big movement not too long ago that you were supposed to put ice next to whoever was your emergency contact.
Oh,
that way if somebody finds your phone,
that's smart.
In case of emergency, calling Jeff Probst.
I'm trying to go through my contacts right now to find out like what one name contacts I have. That's a good one. You know him. Cheeves.
You got Cheeves.
I can ask him anything.
Basketball Cheeves. I assume. Not Andrew
and
Cheever.
I got what the hell is this? I got a straight up Blake. I know a
that's
bunch of Blakes.
Blake Murphy.
Well, I don't know. This could be
Griffin?
Oh, nope. It's another Blake, who is a huge Survivor fan who might be listening or watching. It's Jared's buddy, Blake.
Okay.
Blake. Who I obviously don't know his last name. But he's a huge Survivor fan. And then I got CIBC. I got Co-op Cabs.
Co-op Cabs, wow.
Who's this? Fitzy. Oh, actually, I just remembered who it is. Fitzy is a Raptors fan. Matt Devlin's buddy, Fitzy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I've got four people in my phone, last name basketball.
Oh,
you know,
you just meet
a person playing basketball, and you're like, hey, let's exchange numbers. Maybe we'll play it together. Ashton Basketball. Rue Basketball, Ryan Basketball, and Tony Basketball, holy the basketball God. Brothers.
I got a lot of one namers in here, way more than I thought. I got a Lenny, I got a Karen, I got a Katie, I got a Kelly. Is that my sister? Why did I put my sister's last
Your
name?
Your sister.
Nope. This is Kelly from Cameo.
All right.
Let's call Kelly.
Just call Cameo. Somebody from your phone.
All right. Sorry. Oh, yeah, I forgot we were doing a podcast. Let's take our final break. Great questions there. And when we come back, we will look at the Make Your Picks, No Buffs, Fantasy Survivor Pool. We have a weird Jeff Probst clip. He's got some weird cameos, but we got something else from Jeff Probst, and we'll look ahead to next time on Survivor. We'll be right back. Okay, before we get to our No Buffs Fantasy Survivor Pool and where everybody stands and what's going to be your play for next week, Jake tweeted at us, please watch this series of Jeff Probst holiday party reels on Instagram. And we said, Jake, we're going to watch it together. So here it is. First time seeing it. Probst holiday party reel. Have a go there, JD. Okay, Probst decided to have dinner at his island
Breaking
holiday
news.
Party.
Somebody brought key lime pie. Dale? Except Wilmer, who had brought the cranberry sauce, killed it. I mean, I'm just used to white rice, so what do I know? But nice coat. These same size? So, whoever brought the fruitcake, it's the best I've ever had. Happy holidays!
Okay. Wow. Hashtag CBS holiday party. What the fuck was that? Is he okay?
They gotta lean into more bits. Lean in. Jeff's leaning hard in this one. I'll tell you what. Jeff is crazy in that one. This man has been on an island for 20 years straight, it seems like. But I only recognized Tony Romo in the background, Gale,
yep,
and
yep.
Wilmer Valderrama. They showed a lot more
these
people.
CBS cutouts.
Yeah, who are these
of,
cutouts?
Celebrities, I
yeah.
guess,
yeah.
from the network.
There was like
was
a couple
he referencing
hugging?
A movie? What was he like? What were these lines about, like pie? And or is he just making them up? I'm so
is he freestyle?
Utterly confused.
Yeah,
Jake.
The key lime pie is weird.
People are Sarah. I have so many questions. Derek, what the hell? Clark, excuse me. What did I just watch? Grant, I need bleach ASAP. Derek, would have been better if he was dressed as a lifeguard.
You're right, Derek.
Probably right.
You're right.
I don't know what we watched. Some people want you to play it again.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think we need to. I do. I think we need to pull the clip of when Probst looks crazy there, like
yeah.
like talking to nobody. Like you can make like you could turn like Survivor. You know they take like feel good movies or like whatever type of yep. Like teenage movies, whatever, and they like you can edit them into like
it turns into a
horror
movie
film.
Or
yeah.
something.
I feel like you could do that with this clip.
Oh, yeah,
and Survivor.
Big time.
was it a play on the Home Alone?
That's what I thought.
When he's got cutouts and stuff, and he's pretending to have a party,
but he's not talking to them in Home Alone.
True, he's just
he's just got it's like so the shadow, yeah. the silhouette yeah. through the window, so the
Michael
wet bandits
Jordan's
still
in
come in. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
I don't know.
Reminded me of this picture of Jeff Probst walking down the streets, I think in New York.
That looks like a Jesse from Full House.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Look.
Those pants.
Man, if you are listening to the podcast, come on over to the YouTube.
Gotta see some Jeff.
Oh, yeah. What a weird clip. Jake, thanks for sending that in, I think.
Thanks.
It almost felt like, I don't know, here like the CBS executives... blasted out, hey, we're doing a hashtag CBS holiday party.
Right.
You got to get some social media content up.
I don't think it's social media, though, because
it's on Instagram.
Not framed. I know, but I put it on my Instagram, but it's...
Where did this air? What do you mean?
I don't know. CBS? Internally, maybe?
Possibly.
Maybe it was never meant for our eyeballs.
It's so weird. Love it. Okay. Make your picks. The recap. I saw them tweeting that there were 867 extra vote advantages played for episode 11
mm-hmm.
in the No Dunk Survivor pool. And as they tweeted, now that's how you play Survivor Fantasy Pool by Make Your Picks. Sam Yanono in first place.
Still.
Yep. Sammy Y, He prevented me from stealing a vote.
Wow.
I had to tip my cap to that.
Yep. You're going
to
steal his vote?
Hell yeah, I tried. He blocked me with an idol.
Good for you for trying. Yeah. And good for him for blocking.
That's incredible.
It's just, that's how you play.
That's how you do it on Survivor. I had a rough week, I guess, if you want to call it that, after last night's episode. I've dropped all the way to 428th. I didn't have Cody, who picked up a ton of points. And I had Sammy. I brought Sammy onto my team when I replaced Ellie after she got voted out. I got like 4 total points from Sammy since adding him. I added him a couple weeks ago. So brutal by me. I'm out of this thing. How are you guys doing? You said you went up a bit.
I went up. I'm 196.
All right. So, all right. You know. You're top 20%.
Yeah, it's my first time in the top 200.
Okay.
But feeling good. I got Carla, Owen, Jesse, and Cody going forward.
Whoa, that's solid.
Pretty solid.
That's
solid.
Really good.
And JD, where are you at?
I am, I forgot to vote yesterday.
JD, what is wrong with you?
Well, Wednesdays, it's tough because I've got, is this good?
Make your picks right now.
I know, but see, I wanted to, and then I was like, I got to read some, I've got to read up on this.
Oh,
I got
to
listen to some
really
more podcasts, and then I was just.
It's not going to do you any good.
You're right. You're totally right. So I will be voting right now, and I am voting.
Yeah.
Who's it gonna be?
I'm going, and I don't want to say it because I really want this guy to win because he's my favorite of the remaining six. I'm going Owen.
You think he's in a bad spot? You think of those two, it's more likely they keep Gabler around than Owen.
I think so. I probably agree
on that one, unfortunately.
I'm like, I don't know. I think it's tough for either of those two guys to win if they're there at the end.
Who? Gabler and Owen?
Owen. I think they'd have to be with each other and then probably Cassidy.
I think that's right.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I think I do have it Jesse, Carla, 1-2, or like both 1A, 1B, and then probably Cody is sort of there. But I think it'd be tough for him to win. But I do think Owen might have more of a weird narrative if he got there at the end of like, how am I still here?
I think he can win.
And I think he's very well liked. I think we see these clips of him going to console Cassidy after a loss, of him always, you know, always being the narrator for one thing, but always he's talking to everyone. I think he's just well-liked, so he could get a vote if he's with the right people. So I think you should get rid of him.
Forgive me for the basketball reference, but he is the Cleveland Cavaliers of this season. Everybody's sleeping on him. You are underestimating Owen. If you are on the wrong side of every vote, that means you have not pissed any of the jury off.
Yeah.
And he can win challenges. So he can go to the end. They may be thinking that they're dragging him to the end as a goat, which is foolish because we're gonna hear this line. Nobody's mad at him. Everybody on the jury likes Owen. So I mean, all he needs, he doesn't even need a good move necessarily.
You don't think he needs to play a part in getting one of either Jesse and Cody out or Carla? Like, he has to have some say in that.
But I don't even think he has to spearhead it. I think he just needs to go along with it.
Yeah.
I was instrumental in taking out Jesse or whatever. But if he's sitting there next to Jesse, who has flipped and backstabbed a number of people, I don't know. It really depends on who the jury are, but you can see Noelle was fucking pissed that she got voted out.
Yeah.
And the rest of them, everybody's mad that they got voted out. Remember James when he got voted out?
He was upset.
Owen didn't vote for him.
No, you make a good point. But at the end, I mean, if it's Jesse or Carla and like they feel like they'd be good at explaining their games, I think. And having idols and dictating where the vote was going half the time.
Don't get me wrong.
And like they could respect that and be like, yeah, okay, that's deserving of a win. But I don't know.
I'm saying
they should get rid of Owen. I'm agreeing with you here. I think they'd be wise to get him out because I think their move I think Gabler's final three is him, Owen, and Cassidy and that's their
that
best
makes
move
the most sense for them
for those three. Yeah
I agree.
Okay, so who are you voting out next week? Did you get this last one right? Did you have Sammy?
Yeah, I had Sammy.
Look at you.
Nice.
I had a good week this week. So we got three idols still in the mix with Carla, Cody, and Jesse, depending on where they are.
Right. Two votes to play them.
Two votes
six
to
and
play
five
them. Yep.
And then we get to final
immunity. I could go to anybody once we get this far into the thing.
Yep.
I'll probably vote Owen. I'm gonna tentatively vote Owen right now, but we got 6 days to make
Okay.
I'm voting Cassidy.
Okay. If you're enjoying this pool, please consider creating a pool for Survivor Season 44, which starts March 1st.
Damn.
Zero cost to create your own pool. You can do this with friends, family. You can bet your ass we'll be doing another one.
Sure.
This is a lot of fun.
What did I see for the finale, you can only vote for one. You only get one
vote. Yeah, even though multiple people will go.
Right.
You're not going to get the chance to vote like for three people or
right.
like that.
So yeah. It was recommended you might want to save that extra vote for then.
Oh, man. Hey, man. Use your tokens, man.
Can I get a new one?
I don't know. Is that one you can?
Yeah, you can still get them. Okay. Yes. Okay, next time on Survivor, let's wrap this up. Here's what I had in my notes from the little 30-second clip we saw. Cody approaches Carla about a final four. Jesse tells Cassidy that Carla was targeting her last vote. So here you go. Mm-hmm. Maybe Jesse's plan is going to come to fruition here. Gabler and Cody think they have a perfect plan to possibly blindside Owen. Huh? I have a question mark there.
Huh?
Yeah. I don't know. Why did I write that?
Gabler and Cassidy are going after Owen?
No, Gabler and Cody.
Gabler and Cody. Okay.
To maybe blindside Owen. But I put a question mark. Yeah. So maybe I was like, maybe I'm reading into it.
Maybe.
Owen says he has no problem writing Gabler's name down. And Gabler says, it's a death match. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. So
guess they're going with the drowning aspect for this challenge. I changed my vote to Cody, actually. In the past three minutes.
You know what? Yeah. Really? One of the big three going out at the final six. Yeah. Be it a Carla, be it a Cody. But man, like, I think it was Fishback did say, though, you have that idol still in your pocket. It's very, very difficult to, like, not want to hold on to it till the final play at five.
Right.
Even though you, like, maybe are... We'll see if somebody gets blindsided with it in their pocket. Like, just play it.
Right.
Get your ass to Final Five where you can win immunity. But it's so tough not to. I can see that being the case. You're totally. Like, if I can just keep this one more time, then I'm guaranteed Final Four.
Then you're in there. Yep.
Yeah. We'll see. Man. What an episode.
Straight up.
It's great.
Of Survivor and no buffs, I'll say.
This is a good one, I think.
Yeah. Leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. Like the video if you haven't already. Subscribe to No Buffs. Share the show with your friends. Write a letter to your loved ones.
Yeah.
About this podcast.
Sign it your relationship. Whatever the relationship you have with that person, your friend.
Your podcast friend.
Your nephew.
So we'll see. Only two episodes left. My God. Wow.
Exciting.
Two left.
I can't believe that. And
it doesn't seem like it should be December, if I'm being quite honest with you.
Yeah. So this is going to end,
December 14th?
2 weeks before Christmas.
Nice, perfect. Perfection.
So our last episode will be on the 15th? The 15th.
Yeah. Yep. Are you still here?
I'll be here, and then I go on vacation
there
on the 16th.
There we go. Good. All right. Well, we will see you next week for No Buffs, and if you are a basketball fan, we'll see you tomorrow morning for the Drop Podcast live at 10 a.m. Eastern over at No Dunks. Till next time, the tribe has spoken. See you later, Jeff.